Good morning to you all. Good to see everyone here this morning as we have come together to worship our God. If you have your Bibles, if you will, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and that's where the lesson will be taken from this morning. And as we have mentioned in regards to our theme this year, and that is rejoicing in the God of our salvation. And one of the things that you begin to see as we think about these things, it really helps us to follow the instructions that God has given us for us to rejoice in the Lord, as he mentioned through the apostle there in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. And it causes us to redirect our focus. And many times we are going through so many challenging things this year, and even with so much happening with an election that's coming up as well. I believe as we learn about rejoicing in the salvation of God, it's going to help us to really, no matter what happens, to regain or to continue to follow the instructions of the Lord. So with that said, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and looking at the verses that are expressed in that chapter, and beginning at verse 50, you see the instructions that the apostle gives in reference to the Corinthian brethren. They had lost focus. They had forgotten what this was all about. And so the letter is helping them to redirect that focus on what is important, and that is about the resurrection in Christ Jesus. And so in chapter 15, you start to see as the apostle addresses that. And remember, as said, beginning of verse 50, he is talking about how flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And so what he's telling us, this physical aspect of us is not going to inherit the kingdom of God, as he was telling the Corinthians. And so that's a lesson for us. Sometimes we do get focused on the flesh and blood. We do get focused on the physical, and we forget about the spiritual. We forget about our goal, and our goal is to be with God throughout eternity. And so as the apostle points out to them, he further talks about how not everyone will die before or when the Lord comes. There are going to be those who will still be alive. There will be some that, as we experience, some have died. So if the Lord was to come today, at this moment, what we would understand is that we would not have died. We would still be alive. However, we all are going to be changed. And that's what he addresses in these verses. We're all going to change. And in verse 52, he points out really how it's going to happen. In other words, how fast that will happen in the twinkling of an eye, as he points out. And that's very fast. In fact, he also addresses the time. And that is when the last trumpet of the Lord sounds. When that happens, that means the dead in Christ will rise, as he points out there in 52. And then, as he says, the imperishable will be changed. There in verse 52. Verse 53, for the imperishable must put on the imperishable, and the mortal must put on immortality. If you'll notice something about the structure of that verse, in fact, with imperishable and mortal, they go together. Imperishable and mortal goes together. In other words, imperishable is something that degenerates, something that will be corrupt or decay. And that's the same aspect in reference to mortal. And then he talks about the imperishable and immortality. That goes together. Something that will not degenerate. Something that will not fade or be corrupted. That's the idea of imperishable and immortality. That is going to happen, as he points out to the Corinthian brethren. And so verses 54 down to 58 now addresses why it's important for the Corinthian brethren to keep focus on that. And the reason is, that's how death is going to be conquered. Death will be swallowed up. And as we focus on the spiritual, we're going to be a part of that victory. That victory over this formidable foe, death. And then he ends here in chapter 15 and verse 54 with this. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. And so I titled the lesson this morning, Being Steadfast, Immovable. Being steadfast and immovable. The apostle is telling us when it comes to being steadfast that you and I must be steady. And being steady, that means unwavering. That means fixed or set in a particular direction. And that direction is heaven. Heaven bound. Looking to God, following those instructions, that's what it means to be steady. In fact, he also points out, in reference to being steadfast and immovable, that means to stand firm. That's the high idea of being firmly fixed or set in that direction. Stand firm. And then he also encouraged them to be settled. That's the idea of being steadfast and immovable. In other words, you have made a decision. And you will stand on that decision. You have been established and you have permanent residence there. That's the idea of being settled. A settler is someone who is looking for a place, and then when he finds it, he settles down. And he builds his home. And he resides there. The apostle is encouraging the Corinthian brethren. And we do well to take heed to settle, to build our residence upon God. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go on. It also means to be base. In other words, the idea of base means there is a foundation. And in that foundation, what you have done, this is where you stand. This is where you are attached. Just like that lighthouse is fixed on that rock. And as the waves are beating against it, it doesn't move. It is immovable. It's steadfast. That's the imagery. That's the point that the apostle is encouraging the Corinthian brethren to be. And in our day and time, we need to understand, as he points out, being immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. It doesn't matter what's going to happen after the election. You and I have to be steadfast and immovable. It may be difficult, depending on the chance, the choices that are made, and the thoughts of how people will react and what they will do. We still have to be steadfast and immovable, regardless. And see, that's the reality of life. Even when you and I pray for our rulers and the governing authorities so that we might lead a tranquil life, as the apostle instructs the brethren there over in 1 Timothy chapter 2, we still have to be steadfast. Even if our lives are not in a tranquil situation, we still have to be steadfast and immovable. See, that's the principle of following the Lord. That is what it's all about. That's where the focus is. And we still can rejoice in the God of our salvation because He has provided that, and it is a solid foundation. This being steadfast and immovable is taught throughout the Scriptures. And you can see the concepts over and over again. For example, look there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and notice verses 13 and 14. Where the apostle tells the Corinthian brethren, be on the alert earlier in the chapter there. Stand firm. There it is. In the faith. Be steadfast. In the faith. Act like men. Be strong. You see, it doesn't matter what may come tomorrow or next week or next month. You and I, as the people of God, we have to be on the alert. We have to stand firm in the faith. We're going to have to act like men. We're going to have to be strong. Whether the situation is easier to do or whether it is difficult, we still have to stand firm. See, that's the bottom line of it all. And then he says, let all that you do be done in love. Here's another passage where we find these kinds of things taught to us about being steadfast and immovable. It is what Jesus pointed out over in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. In these verses, what is the base? What is the foundation here? If you say, yes, the words of Jesus, that's exactly right. That is the rock. That is the solid foundation that no matter where, whether the rains come, the floods come, the winds blow and hard, and they slam up against us, if we are steadfast and we are immovable, we're not going to fall. We're not. And that's the mindset that we need to have no matter how the situation turns out. We still have to abound in the work of the Lord. Like I said, some may fall. And the reason why is because they have not decided to follow the words of Christ. So that's what we see. That is the foundation. The words of Jesus, the things that He teaches, that should be the foundation of our lives. That should be the base of how we conduct ourselves, of where we go, what we say, our thought processes. Focused on God. And you know what happens after that? When you rejoice in the God of your salvation, you'll be able to do that because of those things. Because you'll be able to see God at work and establishing you through all the difficulties. And you'll be able to see His hand of mercy as He strengthens you and as you continue to rise up in service to Him. Here's another passage where these things are taught. Ephesians chapter 3. Verses 16 through 19. And notice what the apostle brings to the attention of the brethren at Ephesus. He says, and he's praying for them, that God would grant you, he says, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. I want you to notice the foundation, the base, that which you and I are to settle on, that which you and I are to be steadfast. Notice, as he brings that to their attention, his Spirit. What does it do? It strengthens the inner man. That should be the basis. What else, as we see in reference to that? Love. Yeah, rooted and grounded where? In love. There it is. That's the basis. And not only in reference to love in general, but love in particular. And that is the love of Christ there in verse 19. You see, that should be our basis. That should be our foundation. That is what you and I have decided and we have settled on. That is our permanent residence. When that happens, no matter what the situation is, what's going to happen is you are going to remain steadfast because that's the basis. That is your foundation. That is the decision that you have made. It is the support of you. The love of Christ. As you see those things. And that's what you're seeing here. His Spirit and the love of Christ. That should be the foundation. And so as the storm comes, the waves beat up against you, you'll be steadfast. You'll be immovable. Because that's a decision that you have made. Here's another passage of where that concept of being steadfast and immovable is taught. 1 Corinthians again, chapter 2. Earlier in the letter that Paul writes to the Corinthian brethren, you see, what had happened is the Corinthians had lost their focus. And because they had lost their focus, they were detaching themselves from the wisdom of God and turning and being captured and pulled away by the wisdom of the world. They were wavering. And because they were wavering, the apostle had to remind them of what he had done when he came to them. He says, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom. When he talks about wisdom here, he's talking about human wisdom. He says, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest. Notice that. Rest. That your faith would not settle or decide on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. It is taught throughout those verses. So what is the basis here that the apostle is bringing to their attention? When you're looking at these verses, the basis, what you see, is Christ and Him crucified. That's the foundation. Christ and Him crucified. That is taught throughout the Gospels. With the Gospels towards the end, especially about the crucifixion of Christ. And Christ all along was telling them that He came to die for the sins of mankind in His life to those who were around Him. And then the apostles began proclaiming Christ and Him crucified. And Paul says, when I came to you, this is what I delivered to you. Christ and Him crucified. So that should be our basis. That should be the foundation. In other words, when there is slander against you, when it seems like your enemies are surrounding you and about ready to defeat you, and it feels like no one loves you, sometimes they can make you feel that way. And when they make you feel like you're worthless, if your foundation is Christ and Him crucified, what that means is God is telling you, I love you. You are worth it. That's being steadfast. That's being immovable. That should be your foundation. As much as I love Deb, she's not my foundation. Christ is. I'm sure as much as she loves me, I'm not her foundation. Christ is. It should be all our foundation. And so when we have that, we're going to be steadfast and we're going to be immovable. But if we haven't made that decision, we're going to be tossed about by every wind and every doctrine or teaching that comes along. You can see how people are easily manipulated these days. One of the things that had to be warned about with a lot of folks was when they would give out information. Where did you get that from? From the internet. Everybody thought, well, if you got it off the internet, it must be true. That became their foundation of information. But it is not. It's not. Though you can find a lot of good information, now, don't get me wrong on that. But the foundation of our faith to keep us steadfast and immovable should be Christ and Him crucified. That is what the apostle brought to their attention. So you see this taught throughout the scriptures. Christ and Him crucified. Also the power of God. You see, that should be our foundation. Why should God, the power of God, be our foundation? Who can create something from nothing? Who can raise the dead? That's the power of God. Who can sustain someone through all the difficulties that one faces? I appreciate it one time as we did in our scripture reading and prayer on Monday. One of the thoughts that Gene brought about was talking about the things that the apostle had gone through. Why was the apostle steadfast going through all of those difficulties that he writes over in 2 Corinthians there? All the things that he faced, the trials, the tribulations, the slander. Because he was being steadfast on the foundation that he had laid. He was immovable. God was the one that sustained him through all of that. And so what he does, he pointed this out to the Corinthian brethren over in the first letter. And then when you look at 2 Corinthians, he points out the things that he has gone through. In other words, he practiced what he preached. And we could see that. We learn from that. And so when we look at that, then we begin to learn what it means to be steadfast and immovable, which we will talk about in another lesson. But I want us to look at the foundation of being steadfast and immovable. And that foundation is the power of God. Should be. 1 Corinthians 15, 20 to 23. And looking at what the apostle brings again earlier in the chapter. He says, but now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after that those who are Christ at his coming. Christ has first place in the resurrection. One who died and was raised from the dead to never die again. That's the picture that the apostle is painting to the Corinthians. So what's the basis of being steadfast and immovable in these verses? As we see here, it is the resurrection. The resurrection is the foundation. That someone died on a cross for you and me, and then was raised from the dead. That should be something that you and I should plant our feet on. It is a fact. It has happened. And if you do not place your faith and make the resurrection your foundation, you're going to be tossed about. And you're going to miss out on what Paul was talking about there in chapter 15 later on in those verses that we read or talked about earlier. It's so important that we understand that. If we don't have that as our basis, or as the base of our faith, that we are being steadfast and we're being immovable, everything else will be insufficient. As Jesus even pointed out there in Matthew 7, and in verses 26 and 27, if you reject his words, you're building your foundation, your base on sand, and you will collapse. You may not collapse in regards to life, in reference to the things that you may accumulate and have of monetary value. But that foundation is going to collapse when you stand before God in judgment. That is what the apostle is trying to get the Corinthians to understand. You will lose to death, because there is a second death that exists. And that second death is eternal separation from God. That's the second death. And Revelation even points that out. Chapter 20 and 21. Of how important it is for us to build our foundation on the resurrection of Christ, the power of God, Christ and Him crucified, the testimony of God, the love of Christ, words of Jesus, Spirit of God. Let me back up just one and talk about the testimony of God. Remember, as we talked about the testimony of Christ, that's the same concept, the testimony of God. The testimony of God is who He is, what He has done, what He is doing, and what He will do. That's the testimony of God. It's the same testimony of Christ. And when we look at it from that standpoint, when we're standing on those things, the love of Christ, the words of Jesus, the Spirit of God, we are to be steadfast, immovable, regardless of how things turn out, regardless. How things turn out with our health, how things turn out with an election, how things turn out even with the nation, how things turn out even with our parents, our children. This is the foundation that is a permanent, an everlasting and solid foundation. We're going to be talking about what it means to be immovable. Because when you start to look at those who failed and were removed, who were not steadfast, that they were wavering. You can see this with the Corinthians, with the wisdom of the world. You can look over in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, where the apostle says that the Galatian brethren were being removed from the gospel. They were listening to a perverted gospel. That means that they were not being steadfast. They were being moved. And so the apostle had to remind them to be steadfast with the gospel that they had delivered. Then you look over in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. There you see Hymenaeus and Alexander. They were moved. They were not being steadfast. In fact, the apostle had to deliver them over to Satan so that they would learn not to blaspheme. That's what happens. We lose faith. We desert God. And when we desert God, we have deserted the only one that can save us. And so my encouragement for all of us is let us be steadfast. Let us be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And we're going to talk about that in our next lesson. But at this time, if you will, bow with me in a word of prayer. Merciful God and Father, thank you for this time that we have been able to spend in looking at your word and look at your teaching that teaches us to be steadfast and immovable upon you. And the things that you have said, the things that you have done, and have that hope for tomorrow because of the things that you will do, and that you're still active, that you are aware of our situation. But help us, Lord, to always rest our faith in you so that we will be pleasing to you in the things that we say and do, no matter what we go through in this life, that you will be glorified in our actions. And that we can share you with others so that they too can build themselves upon you and reap everlasting life because of who you are. Thank you for this hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, I want to encourage you to do so before it's everlasting too late. And that gospel has been preached over and over again, especially when you look in the book of Acts and you see the disciples going about preaching the word of God. What they were preaching is about Jesus Christ and what was required of them, and that was for them to believe and they were to confess Jesus as Lord. And when they did that, along with, as Acts chapter 2, verse 38 points out, that when one repents, in other words, turns from sin, turn to God, and then is baptized in the Christ, that individual then will be united with Christ. That individual will be built, being built up on Christ Jesus, the one who died and was raised from the dead. We are united with him when that happens. And so as we make that decision, may we do so. Because what we are doing is we are emulating the death and burial of Jesus Christ. And so if we die to sin, and we are immersed in water, and we are raised up out of the water just as Jesus was raised from the dead, as Romans 6, verses 3 through 6 points out, we have salvation, as Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16 teaches. Matthew chapter 28, there. All those verses and passages that are shown to us throughout the scripture shows us that if when we obey the invitation that God has given us to obey his gospel, salvation will be ours. And as we continue to grow and walk in this newness of life, making God our foundation, heaven will be ours. And I hope that that is something that you think very seriously about. Don't take my word for it. Take God's word, because we can find it, we can read it, and we can apply it. And so, my friend, if you are subject to the invitation that you want to make your life right with God, you want to have the hope of heaven, all things are ready. We're here to help. We're here to assist. And so if that is your desire, we encourage you to come and make it known as we stand and sing the song that was indicated.